What up, Canes fans? Before we get started, just wanted to talk to you guys about the Tank Brewery real quick. The Tank is located in the heart of Miami in Dade County at 5100 Northwest 72nd Avenue. This place is awesome. I've been there. The beer is outstanding. The food is great. Whether you're watching the Canes game, the Heat game there with your buddies, you're having a guys' night out, or you're having a date night with the missus, it's a great place to hang out. So you can order online at thetankbrewingtakeout.com or call them at 786-801-1554 for delivery or pickup. And here's the thing. If you use the promo code TANK4SUP, you will get free delivery on game days. And so that is TANK4SUP, the number four, not spell it out, but TANK4SUP. So go check out our friends at the Tank Brewing. They've been great to us. So take it away, Jordan.
All right. Also, we want you guys to check out our guy, Stickers by AB. That's at STICKERZ by AB. You know, I've been ordering a bunch of stuff from him. You know, we have a collaboration sticker that has our logo on it. So make sure you're checking him out. Give him a follow on Twitter. He's just a good dude, and he's helping us design our merch. So yeah, man, it's make sure you're supporting the good people that help us out here on Fours Up.
You're listening to the Fours Up podcast with your host Marsh.
What up, Canes fans? It is the Fours Up podcast. It is Monday, November 30th. After a long 9 days away from the podcast, we're finally back. We're just getting used to new jobs and married life. Jordan, what's going on, brother?
Dude, nothing much. Just trying to stay afloat, you know?
Absolutely. Well, thank God the Canes finally have a game on Saturday. But before we get into that, we're going to do a little NFL draft talk with our boy Ryan Roberts. So what do you say we get him on?
Yeah, I'll call him in right now. Ryan, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Ryan, long time no talk, man. We finally are able to get you on the podcast again. What's going on, man?
Not much, fellas, not much. I appreciate you guys having me on again. I know it's been a while, man. I know we've been trying to connect for a couple weeks. I appreciate you bearing with me and having me on again, though, for sure.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Anything for our NFL draft guy. Okay. So we have a few questions because, you know, there's a lot of, there's several Hurricanes who are probably thinking about the NFL draft right now. And since we last spoke, you know, some of their draft stocks may have gone up. Some of them may have gone down. I want to start off with Brevin Jordan, because at the beginning, I mean, we've asked you about him many times before, and you know, there have been times where he could have been looking like a first or second round guy, but, you know, he's been out a lot this season, and a lot of people still are under the impression that he will leave after his junior season. What are your thoughts on him?
I think Brevin, it was nice to see early on in the season, the first three games or so before, you know, the injury started derailing his season. He was getting a lot more heavily involved in the offense. The usage was up, and that was kind of just what you wanted to see from Brevin, because it's not hard from a scouting perspective and an eye to see that Brevin Jordan is a very gifted athlete and a next level athlete for sure, special athlete even. It was just all about, will he have the opportunities to show how talented he is? Because he's never going to be a guy with his size and just his style. He's never going to be an inline guy. He's never going to be a amazing blocker. What he is he's a flex tight end that's going to play some H-back. He's going to play in the slot. He's going to be moved around a bunch. And early on in the season, it was looking great. You know, the first couple games, I was excited. And, I think when we talked last time, I told you I had like a second round grade on him. I was ready, you know, after those first couple games of taking a look at him to say, like, this guy is a, you know, first round caliber tight end. But then obviously it's the, he's fighting with the momentum now in a negative way of, you know, we haven't really seen him recently. You know, I know he popped into the one game during November, but you just haven't seen a bunch of him recently. So it's going to be a little bit of a waiting game on him. I think he's a guy, though, that when he ultimately does declare, if it happens this year, he's going to be a guy that's going to go to the combine. He's going to test off the charts, and he's, again, still going to be in that late first, early second round conversation, because those types of players, those mismatch nightmares are hard to come by, and he's a potentially special special player in that role at the next level.
Well, let me ask you this. Obviously, Will Mallory has jumped onto the scene a little bit. I know he's not a guy that will declare early, but do you see him as a potential possible first rounder in the 2022 draft?
I think he's very interesting. I think it was Jordan that brought that up, you know, the last time we spoke. And Mallory has that athletic combined with size profile that maybe Brevin Jordan doesn't have from an all-around perspective. And I think that that Will has really had some spurts, you know, a couple long receptions. He's shown that he's a really talented athlete and kind of out of the shadow a little bit. Next year's class is a little not quite as talented up top, it seems, early on. You have the Jalen Weidermeyer from Texas A&M, who's kind of like a guy that really stands out as, you know, maybe the top guy next year. So I think Will could definitely contend at the top of the class next year. But is he going to be in the first round conversation? I think it's going to depend not only, you know, just putting a full year on slate as the number one guy, but also what type of athlete he is. He looks like a nice athlete to me, but, you know, really just want to kind of dive in and see what type of athlete we're dealing with. Cause I think that he does have a nice ceiling, and I think that, you know, a safe prospect probably somewhere on day two next year, with the potential for a big rise depending on how the 2021 season goes for him.
Okay. So I have a hot take for you, Ryan.
Okay.
I'm going to give a take, and I want your reaction to it. I'm trying to decide if this is how I feel or not. But the take is that Brevin Jordan is the only player on the Canes offense that gets drafted this year.
So, I mean, that depends if De'Ara King's in the draft or not, right? I know that's kind of been like a hot topic amongst Kane fans from what I've seen from you guys is, you know, every player has the option to, you know, the extra year of eligibility. Is he a guy that's going to choose to take that? If De'Ara King is in the draft, I think that the take is probably incorrect because he is absolutely a next level athlete, whether a team is drafting him as a quarterback or as a, you know, a slot receiver, running back, gadget type player. I think that De'Ara is a pretty safe bet to get drafted at some point during the draft. If he's not, though, then I fully buy the take because outside of him, there's not really another guy. You know, offensive line's a little young. Jared Williams, is he coming out? Is he going to use that extra year of eligibility? I've heard that it's kind of been mixed reviews of how he's been playing at right tackle. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the upside is with him potentially, because I've only been able to see his Houston stuff so far. I haven't seen any of his Miami film yet. So yeah, he's kind of the wild card that comes to mind. But I think if De'Ara King is in the draft, though, that the take's probably a little off, because I definitely think that De'Ara King is a draftable prospect.
Okay, so, yeah, I actually kind of agree with you. You know, I've long said that, like, I think he's going to come back if he doesn't get drafted as a QB. But I'm with you in that he's too good of an athlete to pass up. If you're looking at kind of like a Swiss Army knife type player.
Right.
Well, so do you think it would be beneficial for De'Ara to come back for another year? Or do you think that his limitations, such as his height and maybe his throwing power a little bit, do you think if he came back next year, would he still be it would be tough for him to get drafted?
I think that De'Ara King is a guy that's had a ton of production, a ton of playing time, you know, from Houston now to Miami. I know he's doing a really nice job for you guys as the dual threat option at quarterback this year. I don't think that there's a ton of extra upside for him. If his whole thing was, I'm preparing for the NFL and I want to make sure that I optimize my opportunities, I don't think going back for another year at quarterback is going to optimize his best opportunity. I think that at the next level, he is that gadget type player. Does that mean that he doesn't play any quarterback? No, that's not necessarily what that means. But I think that he's going to split between a few different positions. I don't think playing a full year at quarterback is going to sway evaluators' minds to a degree. Like, he just is what he is. Like, he's a nice dual threat kid. He can throw the football a little bit, but there's going to be some inaccuracy the height issues, you know, everything is still there of the negatives. Those aren't things like he's not going to get taller going back to school next year. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's a little bit of a tough conversation. But, hey, if De'Ara King is – like, if Miami is a serious contender for next year's playoff run, like, if they think that they are in that situation, I don't blame King for going back. But I think that that would more be a personal decision than actually like a professional aspiration type of decision.
Yeah, okay. I think that's a really good point.
So I guess I got another one for you, Ryan. How absurd is it to think that Miami can have three pass rushers go on day one? That being Rousseau, Roche, and Phillips.
I'm not going to buy Roche in the first round just because I don't think he's going to test that well. I think he's a day two guy. I think he's a solid day two guy. I just think that he lacks a little length combined with I think he's going to test very average to below average as an athlete. I think he's a good football player. He's very technically refined. I don't think that there's a ton of upside. But if you're telling me Rousseau and Phillips, I'm buying it 100% right now. I think Rousseau is – you know, there's a reason that he opted out right so early. He knows, everybody knows where Rousseau's going. He's a top 10, top 15 pick when all is said and done, because he's going to go to the combine at 270 plus pounds, because I'm sure he's going to be weighing around that area at that point, because I know he was up to like 265 when he chose to opt out. So he's going to be 270 plus. He's going to test incredibly, 15 and a half sacks in his, you know, first full year as a starting defensive end since that transition from high school. So he's a safe bet. And Jalen Phillips is a freak, man. That dude is – he's going to test off the charts, too. He's got – he's a lot better in the run game than I thought he was, too. You know, I thought he was going to be a one-trick pony, but he's got a huge frame. He sets a nice firm edge. There's a lot of upside with Jalen Phillips, and I know when he tests really well, I think he's going to be a hard guy to keep out of the first round.
Wow. So you're saying that you think Jalen Phillips is gone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm saying 6'5", running 4.5s. Like, I think that that's going to be a little hard for him to pass up.
Yeah.
Dang it. That was my next question. Besides King, I mean, Jalen Phillips has probably been the most talked about, whether he's going to come back or stay. And, man, I mean, that's awesome for him, but that sucks for the Canes. Because
he's the guy, right? Because like he had all those concussions and some injury durability concerns at UCLA. It's like at some point, you know, your future is going to outweigh the present to a degree. Like if he comes back and he has another injury, then like he's set himself back a bunch. Like strike while the iron is hot, because he's playing good football. He's a physical specimen. He's going to go to the combine, like I said, and he's going to blow it up. Like it seems like all the stars are kind of aligning that like, you need to take advantage of what you've put on film this year, because I think going back, I mean, he can become more technically refined. He can help his game, but I don't know if he's going to help his stock a bunch, just because at the end of the day, that type of athletic profile is going to get drafted very early.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, okay. I know you're under the gun, Ryan. But do you have time to tell us about Bubba Bolden real quick?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. So Bubba, I have a little draft crush on Bubba, to be honest with you. He's got that dual threat type of body playing safety, right? Like usually you categorize somebody as being a box safety, or you categorize them as being, you know, they're the roof guy. They're playing, you know, deep zone, whether that be single high, two high. I think Bubba can do a little bit of everything. He's, you know, 6'2 plus. I think he's listed at 6'3, but he is very smooth, very athletic. He has some missed tackle issues, which I want him to clean up a little bit, but I think that that guy is a versatile piece that's going to test well for his size. He can do a little bit of everything. I wouldn't rule it out. I think he's probably more a day two player, but if you're talking about guys that could potentially sneak in the first round, like I think he could do it. You know, I would like a little more ball production. I would like a little more consistency as a tackler, but he's how you draw it up at safety right now, man. Like there's less and less safeties that are just one trick guys, or less and less guys that are, you know, that's your only role. They want the guys that make a Fitzpatrick's of the world that can do a little bit of everything. And I think that Bubba, athletically, size wise, he can do a little bit of everything. So he's been one of my more pleasant risers so far in the class. And I've been a real big fan of a lot of the tape that he's put forth. And I'm excited about the even more additional, you know, rise that he could have, because he's not a finished product, which gets you really excited looking at a guy like that.
Absolutely. So would you say if it would be smarter for him, for his draft stock, to stay for one more season?
I think safety is a little trickier, because like a defensive end, that is, I mean, that's one of the premier positions, right? So in Phillip's case, teams are desperate. They're starving for defensive end pass rushers. They always need those guys. Safety's a little lesser to a degree. So I think Bubba is a candidate that could come back. And I think that if he does go back, that there is some merit to it, because I think that there are a lot of parts of his game that can improve. And I think that he's a good athlete. I don't know if he's going to test like an amazing athlete, but I think he's going to check all his boxes. I think he's firmly, if you had to ask me, like one of the interesting guys that I think could get a lot out of an extra year. I think Bubba could get a lot out of an extra year. I'm not sure where his head is with the entire decision, but I think that he's going to be a very highly coveted safety when he does choose to come out. But I do think that he's that guy that isn't 2021, isn't 2022. I think he's a little in between, just because I think he can get something out of going back for another year.
Okay. So, okay, last question. You can do a quick answer. I'm a Cowboys fan. Who do you have us going in your latest mock draft?
Oh, I forget. I think my latest mock draft was when you guys were actually that was a few weeks ago. So you guys were actually, I think, in first place at that point. So you were probably picking a little later. I would say right now, with how the season's shaking out, though, if the Cowboys have a top five pick, I think offensive tackle Penei Sewell from Oregon would be a great spot, because Lyle Collins can't stay healthy. Tyron Smith has been dealing with injuries. I feel like building, and we've seen what's happened with Dallas's offensive line, right? Zach Martin going down. They only got Connor Williams as the lone starting piece to begin the year. So offensive line, and then anything in the secondary, man. Like that is, it's a sham right now watching that secondary. It's historically bad. I mean, Trevon Diggs, I know he's going to take his lumps as a rookie. I get it. Hasn't looked great, though. The rest of the secondary, Awuzie, you know, always injured. The safeties aren't great. I would say if it's not offensive line, you're probably talking cornerback early there. So maybe a Caleb Farley, J.C. Horn, someone in that type of conversation.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ryan. I know this was kind of a rushed interview, but real quickly, why don't you tell the people where they can find your work?
Absolutely. Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at RiseNDraft, the letter N Draft on Twitter. NFL Draft Bible is the main source of content. We have a big announcement that's actually coming up probably sometime this week that unfortunately I can't drop at the moment. But NFL Draft Bible, Rise and Draft, make sure to keep an eye out for that announcement. And as always, fellas, I really appreciate you having me back on. It's always a blast, and we'll definitely have to do another one sometime soon where it could be a little longer of an interview where we're not as strapped to time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. As the draft gets closer, we'll definitely have you on a few more times. So, yeah, thank you so much, Ryan.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks. See you, man.
See you, Jordan. Thank you.
Cool.
Good guy.
Oh, yeah. I love having him on, man. And it's always refreshing to get a fresh look. You know what I mean? Because we're all Canes fans, right? Probably everyone that listens to this and us, like, we want guys like Cam Harris, you know, like we're hopeful, like, man, I wish he'd be a sixth round pick. Like, you know what I mean? Like we're believing in these dudes. Right.
Yeah.
And we should. Right. And I mean, I know you do. And I genuinely hope the best for all of them. Hope they can all make the NFL and, you know, and have that like good lifestyle for them and their families and stuff. But it's nice to have Ryan set us straight a little bit. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't we – I know we kind of rushed into the interview. How you been since the last time we recorded?
Dude, so busy. Good, but busy, right? So, been married for a week now. Is it a week or 2 weeks? I don't even know. I think it's 2 weeks now. That's how fast it's going. Yeah, so 2 weeks, day job is getting busy. You know, Cane Gang Radio got a second hour, so looking forward to that on Slam Radio. And, dude, just, I guess, trying to move along with this stuff. You know, we love having the tank. We're the Tank Brewery extended with us for through the end of December. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Love the tank.
Yeah, man. And tell us, I mean, what's going on with you? How's waking up at 4 a.m. every morning?
Dude, it's karma, man, because I swear, like, a few weeks before I started this, you and I were just talking about how much we hate waking up early.
Uh-huh.
And Toast calls me, says, hey, like, I got this opportunity for you. It's 6 to 8 a.m., but, you know, I got to wake up at 4. You know, I probably get to the – because we record at the Inter-Miami soccer stadium, which is probably 25 minutes away from me. So I got to be there at 5, and it is early. I will not lie, but it's awesome, man. I get to talk about sports, like, and Toast is just funny as hell.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like half of our show, I swear, we don't even talk about sports, but it's just so funny.
Yeah. No, I listened to you guys last week. I mean, I woke up at 8:45 a.m. this morning, so that's Utah time, so not nearly close enough to listen to you guys, but I download your show on Apple Podcasts when it's out, and you know, I love it. Like, you guys are great, and it's what you were meant for, man.
Yeah, it's going good. Before we sent us a few mailbag questions, but before we get to that, do you want to tell them about our boy AB?
Yeah. So I know you guys have heard this dozens of times, but I can't stress it enough. Our guy AB, like, I don't know, maybe one of my, well, definitely one of my favorite dudes, maybe my absolute favorite dude that I've met through all this stuff. You know, like, make sure you guys are checking out Stickers by AB. His designs are incredible. You know, we did that fun giveaway a few weeks ago. I got the crib sticker on the back of my laptop right now. So, you know, I use the stuff. It's all good value. And dude, I mean, the stickers last forever. So make sure you guys are checking out Stickers by AB. That's at STICKERZ by AB on Twitter. Check out his website and use the discount code FOURSUP. That's the number 4. SUP for 15% off on his website.
Awesome. Yeah, I just got a care package from him last week, and I'm trying to figure out where to put all of them.
I know, right?
Like, I, by the end of it, my car is going to look like a like I'm a I don't know what, but it's going to be covered in these cane stickers. But he does great work. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good, man. I went down to Albuquerque and you know, New Mexico, and did it with the in-laws. And dude, Albuquerque, no joke, is one of the best food cities I've been to in America. Like,
I'm kind of sad that I didn't even eat there when I was driving through. So
yeah, it's
kind of sucked. But
so I mean, it's all like their own brand.
Very highly of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like their own brand of Mexican food, right? They lean heavily on like green chili and red chili, right? And geez, that stuff is so good. It like burns my insides for a few weeks after I leave, but because it's all so spicy, but it's delicious, dude. It's arguably my favorite type of Mexican food is new Mexican food. So
I'm a sucker for Mexican food, man, and that's something that I miss here in Florida.
Yeah, is there not much?
No, we have a lot of Hispanic food, like Cuban food and all of that, but not really any Mexican food.
I gotcha.
So that kind of sucks, but you know, it's all good. It's all good in the hood. So New Mexico was good?
Yeah, it was good, man. It was, how about you guys? I saw you were doing a big cookout the other day with all those burgers. Did you really have the Canes D line over, or was that a rumor?
That was just a rumor. Jalen Phillips and Nesta were all on my couch. I was in between them.
Nice. I bet Nesta would have eaten like a dozen of those hamburgers.
Dude, they were so good.
Yeah.
I had we have some leftovers. I had some for lunch, and it's just so effing good. It pays to have good friends who can cook.
Yeah. So it's all about, man.
Absolutely. Okay, so we are back on Saturday. The Canes are playing, finally.
Yeah, I was, you know, I I guess it was kind of that we were going to play BYU for a minute, and then we played Duke.
Oh, I wanted it so bad.
Dude, I didn't. I didn't because I didn't want to be the team that figured out that BYU is actually good. You know how bad that would suck?
Nobody like gives them any respect, and I understand that they haven't played anybody, but I did not want to see Zach Wilson against our secondary.
Yeah, and you know, they have a guy, they have a lineman that is like the favorite for the Outland Trophy, and then they have a tight end that's probably going to be a day two draft pick.
Bushman?
No, Dax Milne. I think Bushman opted out, so, but he's good too, so they might have two tight ends that get drafted this year.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, their offense is no joke.
Agreed. And you know, like, they haven't played anyone, but they have the largest margin of victory in the whole country. So what more can you ask for, right?
Yeah, and the only time that they played a ranked team, Boise State, they won by like 50.
I know, it was 51-17. They just took a big stinky poop right on Boise's face.
Ew. I hate that word so much.
Well, you know who didn't hate that was Odell Beckham.
True. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that was good. That was good. Yeah. Okay, but yeah, now we're playing Duke, and we have not – we're on a two-game losing skid against Duke. It's going to be 8 o'clock on the ACC network.
Are we really on a two-game losing streak versus Duke?
Yes.
You know how stupid that is?
That sounds like, so pathetic.
I know. And, like, I don't know, man. That frustrates me. Especially because, like, you know, some the Canes fan base is notorious for getting overly cocky, right?
No.
So when people say that we're going to, like, thrash a top 10 BYU team, and then it's like, oh, we're actually playing Duke, and we have a two-game losing streak against them. Are you sure that's not basketball?
No, dude, because we lost in 2018. That was the game in the pouring rain at Hard Rock Stadium.
Yeah.
And Daniel Jones was the QB for Duke. And then last year was the last game of the regular season. It was the FIU aftermath game. And I didn't watch. I watched probably 5 minutes of it. I just didn't care. And we lost by 10, I believe. So,
dude, I must have blocked it out of my memory. I mean, I knew that we lost 2 years ago, but of course we lost last year, right?
Yeah, I mean, we lost all the time last year, but
we had like that WWE SmackDown night where we had to watch the highlights of the Duke game, and then we came out flat and lost to them.
WWE, that's pretty good. But yeah, we are now number 9 in the coaches in the AP poll. We'll see what happens in the playoff race, but as of right now, Toast was telling me today this, I can't remember his name, but a guy who is dead on when it comes to bowl projections and NCAA tournament projections has us going to the Orange Bowl to play the Gators.
I would love, how do you feel about that?
I don't know, man. Because obviously you want to play the Gators, like, for the idea of playing the Gators.
Yeah.
But they're good. They are good as hell. Trask is throwing it all over the place. Kyle Pitts is unguardable. He has 11 touchdowns right now.
I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Trask is a top 10 pick. And, like, it wouldn't surprise me if he's QB2 in this draft, honestly.
He is so good. And he's see that coming.
Yeah, you know, I saw a video in the offseason of Derek King and Kyle Trask training together, and there was one other QB. It might have been, like, Caden Slovis or whoever. But they were all throwing next to each other, and the way that the ball was coming out of Trask's hand, I don't think I tweeted this because I was too prideful, right? But I was like, oh, man, like, he throws a really nice ball.
He's very, very good, and so I don't know. Like, I would be a lot more down for it if it wasn't COVID and like the stadium could be at full capacity and I could go tailgate for the game. Like, that's half the fun when it comes to Miami, Florida. And so I don't know. It would just kind of seem weird playing the Gators in a half-empty Hard Rock, and it, like, you can't tailgate outside, and then the game. I don't know, man. I mean, I would feel a lot better if we were projected to play like Cincinnati or BYU.
I honestly, what I want, I mean, now I'm biased, right? I live in Utah. All my friends are BYU fans. So I want us to play BYU in like the Fiesta Bowl or something so I can drive down to it, you know, and yeah. I can, me and my buddies can load up a big van and drive down to Phoenix and have a great time. That's what I want.
Those kind of road trips.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I want. I'm really worried about playing the Gators. I know, like, you know how Twitter is, dude. People are going to hate us for saying this, but like,
I don't care.
You play that game 100 times with these two teams. How many times do the Gators score 40 plus points on our defense? and that doesn't mean we lose, right? Because their defense is trash too. So like, it could be a shootout and we could win. They could score 40 plus and we could still win, right? But I don't know. I think there's a decent chance that they're going to score high 30s or 40 plus on us. And I mean, Trask is unstoppable right now. And guess what? Our defense can't stop anybody. So
it can't stop a freaking nosebleed. But so as of right now, we're playing Duke on Saturday. And then do we still have 3 games after that?
I don't know.
I'll be honest. Like, since I started this job, like, I haven't paid too much attention to the Canes. We also haven't had a game. And so, I mean, because we still have to play – because the whole schedule is messed up right now. Would UNC be next week?
I think it is. I was just seeing people talk on Twitter. So I don't know if this is I doubt this is official. But I was seeing people think that Georgia Tech probably won't happen, but that UNC probably will. But don't take that as gospel because – you know, I've had a crazy few weeks as well, so I'm not the most informed right now.
Yeah, I just haven't really haven't paid attention. I mean, it's hard to pay attention when there's no games going on.
Yeah, so. Well, and plus we've done 100 episodes in a year where football has only been played for 6 of those weeks or whatever, 8 of those weeks.
Yeah, it's kind of insane, but I wanted to can you believe what's going on at FSU?
No, it's crazy what's happening. I mean, like,
they just canceled another game and that's their last game of the season. They don't have any other games.
Yeah, and all of their players are leaving, all of their recruits are decommitting. It's hard to imagine Norville coming back, but like, what are they gonna do? They just fired Taggart. Are they gonna fire Norville and pay him for?
I don't think they'll fire Norville. I honestly almost feel bad.
I don't.
Because that sucks.
It does suck, but you know what? All Seminoles are bad people, and they deserve it. I'm just kidding.
We're all bad.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Yeah, dude, that is just a bad situation, and that whole situation with Dabo was so annoying, and it made Dabo just look like a total douchebag.
Yeah.
And you know, though, I don't want to get into that whole thing.
I mean, he didn't need a lot of help, but
yeah, he's just a loser, man.
Yeah.
Toast was saying today that he thinks Dabo, this is going to be his last year with Clemson.
Interesting. You know, I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, there's probably a huge payday waiting for him in the NFL if he wants.
Well, and he was saying that he could go to the Jets and he could draft his quarterback, Trevor Lawrence.
That's brilliant, actually. I think that's a good take. I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that's – why not? Makes sense.
I wouldn't mind if Dabo's gone. I mean, that would definitely help the Canes out.
Yeah.
I mean, they would probably just promote Venerables, the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So, we would still kind of be screwed, but.
Do you feel like Dabo tries too hard to be Nick Saban?
I feel like Dabo tries too hard to be a human? Be Dabo. Like, yeah. he tries so hard to be different.
Yeah.
And it's so annoying.
Yep.
It is so freaking annoying. I just don't like him. He's kind of just a jackass.
Yeah.
Sorry, like, he's so annoying.
No, I feel you. And also, on the Florida State thing, I saw that Bronco Mendenhall said that he has no interest in going back down to Tallahassee to play football. So,
okay, because I thought, for some reason, like, I initially thought, like, he was saying that, like, in terms of, like, coaching, and then I kind of read into it, and, mm-hmm. yeah, it's to play another game. But, I mean, I don't really blame him.
Yeah.
Can't really either. Blame Bronco.
Yeah, Florida State, just at every level, like, they are a unilateral, like, garbage fire or dumpster fire. Like, yeah, there's nothing going right for them right now.
No, absolutely nothing. But, yeah, I've just been freaking – the only Kane stuff I've really been talking about is whether or not D.R. King is coming back and recruiting stuff. I mean, recruiting is just – we're closing in on early signing day. Apparently a lot of kids – I don't know about a lot, but I know that Thad Franklin will not be signing on early signing day. And that was one of the mailbag questions. I don't know how – you know, if you've – you know, looked at this recently, but this is something that we talked about during this podcast. Since we started, Thad Franklin recommitted to Miami. Then there were, you know, rumors that he would decommit, and then he 100% committed. He's fully in, and now they're talking again how I know Rutgers is going after him hard. What are your thoughts on him? Do you think that, you know, are you confident that he'll sign with the Canes?
Let's see. How do I want to phrase this? I will say that I have little confidence, but that doesn't mean I think he's going elsewhere. What that means is that I think he's a complete wild card. Like, who knows what that guy's going to do? And it's frustrating on our end, you know, being Miami fans and being content creators, right? Obviously, he's entitled to go wherever's best for him, but I can't help but feel like he's been a little immature in how he's handling this whole process.
Yeah.
Is that too harsh? Like, I don't want to be rude, right?
I wouldn't say so.
Yeah, I mean, it's his recruitment, right? So do what you want, right? But yeah. I can't help but think, like, man, is this kid always going to be a headache?
Because it just seems like I feel like he's just been a little bit more quiet than the other guys.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you see guys like James Williams is all about it.
Yeah. Well, and every time you talk to him, he says how much he's hearing from another school. And, like, you know, maybe he just, like, struggles in interviews. I don't know. Like, I don't know that at all. I don't have any inside info. But I can't help but, like, scratch my head after every time I read an update on his recruitment. And, like, was he really a better option than Amari Daniels? Because I don't know. I don't want this to be spun in some different direction that I don't intend it. What I mean is, like, I have no idea what that kid is thinking. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean it in, like,
I also heard that he wants, like, he kind of wants to play basketball as well.
Huh.
And that, like I said, I haven't been as tuned in recently as in the past. So don't take my words and, you know, think of it as doctrine. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's, we just got to close this class on a bang. And so let's, I'm trying to, I wanted to ask you this because this is another, question that was in the mailbag. Literally every single South Florida kid from last recruiting class, and I think the one before that who went to Nebraska has hit the transfer portal. Are you surprised?
No. Yeah, I mean, no, not really. What about you?
Not really. Okay, so who was – I'm trying to find who – it was the wide receiver – who was the wide receiver that entered the portal today? You quote tweeted. I'm looking it up right now.
It was Marcus Fleming.
Marcus Fleming.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it just it sucks, man.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people crap on Utah and stuff, but at least it's not Nebraska.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, like,
why would you want to go to Nebraska? I mean, I get the draw when they're a blue chip program, right? But guess what? It ain't 1994 anymore or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and Tennessee. Yeah. Tennessee just lost their cornerback that were going after Darius McGee, but apparently he is maybe leaning towards LSU. So here's another question for you from the mailbag. If Rump doesn't pull in at least two cornerbacks, he's got to go. Agree or disagree?
Yes and no. Because here's the thing. Like, we don't – I mean, do we even know that Rump is – you know, people say that they don't recruit by position, right?
Yeah.
However, at the end of the day, like – Rumpf is going to factor into the decision of any kid that comes to play cornerback here, right? Because that's his position coach. And so, I mean, I feel like, yeah. Well, I was kind of on the maybe look around train for months now before the season started. So, yeah, I mean, I'll say yeah.
I have not been this direct on this podcast, but I agree. I think it's time to go in a different direction.
Yeah, I don't even care what happens, honestly. Unless he flips Jason Marshall, time to move on.
I'm so sick and tired of, you know, struggling with cornerback recruiting, but also our cornerbacks just not really developing into anything since he's gone here. It would be something if he was churning out. Give me at least a second or a third round pick for a cornerback just to know that our cornerbacks go into the draft and are playing on Sundays. But I mean, you got Bandy, who Lord knows if he's still on a practice squad. Michael Jackson, I don't know if he's on a practice squad anymore. It's just so frustrating, man. And after a while, Manny just has to say, you know, if we're trying to become an elite program again, this is something that recruits are going to be looking at. You know, like, okay, yeah. I see LSU is bringing out a lot of cornerbacks to the NFL. Oh, Ohio State turns out a lot. Even the Gators are turning out a lot. Oh, Miami, you know, they just, fifth round guy, undrafted guy, another sixth round guy. So, and the thing is, I don't know, man. I'm on the train to get a new cornerback coach. That's my thought. I have made my decision.
I dig it.
I am putting my foot down. I've had it.
Yeah.
There's no reason we should be 7-1, number 9 in the country, with no cornerbacks committed.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially because we're struggling not just from a talent standpoint, but from a personnel standpoint. You know, I put the spotlight on that before the season started. I said, what if we have an injury? What if we have a depth concern? Like, we don't have guys.
Yeah.
And guess what? We still don't have guys. And we had one transfer. So.
Yeah, it's very, very frustrating. Sorry, go ahead.
I have a question for you, Marsh.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know me. This might be too negative. I don't know. I don't really care.
No, let's bring it, man.
Okay. Let's see. So, if we don't have De'Aaron King, what's our record?
This year?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I guess if we don't have De'Aaron King, how much better are we than last season?
I think maybe we're 5-3, or wait, yeah, we played 8 games. 5-3, maybe. I don't think we beat NC State because De'Aaron King is literally the only reason we won that game.
Yeah.
I think it would have been hard to even beat Louisville and Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Because I mean, look, King made the plays when he had to, and so.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards 4-4. I'm leaning towards 4-4. You know, I think you can even lump Pitt into that group of, you know, games that we'd struggle, but I think we'd pull out at least one of them. So I'm leaning 4-4-ish. But the point I'm getting at is I think there's more layers to the job that Manny is doing. I'm a full believer in Manny. You know, he did what we needed to, and what we needed to do was load up on first round talent through the transfer portal, like Ryan was telling us, you know, with Phillips's potential first round pick, Bubba Bolden's potential first round pick. You know, Roche is a day two pick. You know, I saw a mock yesterday that had Roche first. I mean, I trust Ryan, but you know, Roche's in that discussion. So credit to Manny there. But I really think his rebuild job is an incomplete right now, because we are living off of transfer portal guys that are only going to be here 1 year. And so, like, let's see what happens next year, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely see where you're coming from. Yeah. Thank the Lord for the transfer portal.
Yeah. And like, the rebuild is incomplete, you know? That's the main point that I'm going at here is, like,
well, let's say it's in progress.
Yes, correct. That is what I mean. I just don't, I'm probably going to be a little more, I mean, we'll see what happens in the off season, but if I'm projecting it out right now, I'll probably be a little cooler on our team next year, you know? Like, if we finish, let's say we finish 10-2, you know, we get beat in the Orange Bowl or something, like, that's a great year for us. But that doesn't mean I'm immediately projecting a 2-loss season again next year.
Oh, no. It really all depends on Derek King.
Yeah.
And so at this point, you think he's staying?
Yeah, I think he's going to stay.
I do too. I really do, man. Like, that, I don't ask for much. I really, really don't.
Yeah.
But just give us one more year.
Right.
Like, I'd give us one more year, and then TVD could start his third year. I don't want to rush him out there. I think Tyler Van Dyke is going to be very, very good. Uh-huh. I just don't want to rush him out too early. And, you know, against Alabama, and, you know, if we get smashed in that game, TVD's confidence goes down. I don't want that to happen. So if King can stay one more year and we get Tyler Van Dyke for his third year in 2022 – that's a good situation.
Yeah.
That is favorable. That is what I want. That's all I want for Christmas.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's huge to have Derek King come back. I mean, that would make us a much more intriguing transfer portal destination too, which I think will be important.
Going forward in college football, the transfer portal is going to be giant.
And I think it's going to be important for how we do next year, because, you know, I do think Manny's bringing in good guys in terms of the, like, recruits and freshmen and stuff. I really like our freshman class. I like the class that we have coming in December. But we need those guys to be the majority of the team before we stop relying on transfer portal dudes, in my opinion.
No, we do. I think at positions like quarterback, it's always going to – I feel like there's going to be – because there's so many quarterbacks that go to the transfer portal. I'd say that's one of the top positions that it, you know, that draws. And so I feel like quarterback is a position that we're going to rely on from the transfer portal a lot. I'm not going to say that TVD or, you know, anyone else can't do it. I just think that that's just a reality of college football.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we, I mean, I definitely hope we keep getting guys like Phillips and Bubba Bolden, you know, that would be incredible.
That kind of broke my heart that Ryan said that he thinks Jalen is going to go, you know, leave early, but I think we're all, I think we all are kind of starting to believe that it's going to happen.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, Cam Williams has looked amazing, and Jafari Harvey, like, I think we'll be fine next year.
Yeah, and Chance Williams is going to be older, and so I mean, the defensive end is going to be probably a little bit of a struggle next year, but a lot of young talent, and who knows? I mean, who knows who is going to hit the transfer portal?
Yeah.
Because yeah, with Manny Diaz and with Rhett Lashley, ooh, and here's another, I want to bring this up after I make my point, but with Manny Diaz and Rhett Lashley and the success that they've had on the transfer portal, who wouldn't want to come to Miami?
Yeah.
After this year.
Yeah, I definitely would, especially to play in that offense. I mean, imagine if you're a high-profile wide receiver and you're watching this team. Like, I would be drooling. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'd just be like, that could be me. You know, that could be me catching deep balls instead of falling on my back and missing them.
Okay, so I saw a post on Twitter that Rhett Lashley is going to be pursued heavily for the Vanderbilt head coaching job. Your reactions?
Don't do it for multiple reasons.
Please don't go.
Vanderbilt is one of those jobs that's impossible, man.
Yeah.
I mean, look, like, I understand that they've had two guys come out in who's the head coach for Penn State?
Franklin.
Yeah, so they had that dude, James Franklin, you know, but I mean, he got them to like barely over 500, and people are like hailing him as incredible. And Jay Cutler, you know, like had a 500 record there and goes top 10 or top 15.
That was back in like 05 too.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is like, it's considered an incredible benchmark to get them plus 500.
Yeah.
You know, so like if you're Rhett Lashley, is that really the job you want?
For as long as they're in the SEC, they're not going to win.
Exactly. Like that's just one of those programs where you're just destined for failure.
That's so bad to say, but it's so true.
Yeah, dude. I mean, the SEC is a juggernaut, you know, like someone needs to get crapped on every, you know, every year. And it just happens to be Vanderbilt. Like, how do you pull yourself out of the basement of the SEC? Like, there's just too much talent going to everybody else. And, you know, they're a tough academic school, too. So, I mean, it's probably have the hardest standards of admittance in the SEC, I'd imagine.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So, speaking of Vanderbilt, one of the mailbag questions was, why are so many men offended by a women kicker?
I don't know. Can I pass on this one?
Yes. I will say that I think it's ridiculous that guys are so offended. I think it's stupid. Like, why do you care?
Yeah. I guess all I'll say is I think a lot of people believe in meritocracy still. And that's something we need to figure out as a society. Like, how much meritocracy do we want? And how much do we want to, like, reach over meritocracy to lift other people and groups up?
Yeah.
And so I think the country's still very split on that. You know, I think if that decision was made and it was fully out of merit, I'm not sure many people would have a problem with it. But I think people are skeptical of the merit behind it, right? Or whether it was for publicity. So, I don't know, man. It'll be interesting to see the way this shakes out, you know, as there's a bigger call for, like, I don't know, I guess more aggressive outreach to groups of people that don't get as many chances. So.
Well, and my point is, like, she had one squib kick. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, why are people freaking out? She was in the game for 10 seconds.
Yeah, I get you. It's like, why are people freaking out in either direction? I mean, that's kind of my take. It's like
it was
a squib kick. So yeah.
Who cares? Okay. Here's another one. This is from 365 Canes Football. He's a really good account. If you guys are not already following him, he does really in-depth film reviews. And, you know, right now he's going back and looking at the cornerbacks that Miami's had since Rumpf and how they've done. So go check him out. But his question is, we have 3 to 4 spots left. Maybe some noise. Thad is looking elsewhere, so could be more. However, my question is, do you think we close with more defensive players or offensive players with the remaining spots? just based on who is still on the board or your gut opinion?
Let's see. I'm trying to think. I'm leaning defense in my head. I'm trying to think through it, though. I'm going to go defense.
Yeah, I think a lot of the people, a lot of the guys that we're looking at right now are on the defensive side. I mean, when you look at Mason Smith and, you know, we're kind of – I think we're sending out just – or looking for 12 cornerbacks a day. So I think – and honestly, besides quarterback, I've heard that we're going to try and go after one more offensive lineman. I don't know who, because I don't think we've offered Austin Barber yet. He's out of, I think, Jacksonville. He's the one that just decommitted from Minnesota. But besides him and quarterbacks, I don't think we close with a – I think I've officially given up on the Jake Garcia belief and hope that he'll come to Miami, which –
oh,
is
really?
Which is fine, you know? Which
You're out on Jake?
Which is fine. Like, I don't care.
Dang, you were the guy that I relied on for my Jake info. So I guess I'm out too.
With so little time remaining, unless he is like an Avante Williams kind of a deal where he kind of flips on signing day. I know Avante didn't flip from the Gators, but it kind of was like that.
Yeah.
I just don't see Jake coming here. Rhett Lashley said today that he's still very confident in the quarterbacks they are recruiting. And so, I mean, you honestly never know, because recruiting can get pretty weird those last few weeks within the cycle. And so you never know what will happen. But, yeah, man, I don't see it happening.
Yeah. Well, that sucks. I mean, you know a lot more about that than I do, so –
I was still
under the impression that it was happening, but I've been that way since April. So
exactly. We've kind of been waiting for something to happen since like June.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, man. I just.
You know what? I'm going to drive to Georgia and pick him up and take him to Miami. Be like, Jake,
get in the car.
We need to have a man-to-man conversation, Jake.
just give me like 10 hours so we can drive down to Miami and we can talk with other people, but
right.
We have to have a talk.
Exactly.
I wanted to I know I already asked this question. It's about the Nebraska guys, but do you have any more thoughts on that? Or because I know a lot of people are talking about that, just Nebraska players or South Florida players going to Nebraska and just kind of panning out. Do you have any more thoughts on that?
I mean, not really. Like, I get it. Like, I have a buddy who, you know, is very knowledgeable about college football. But, you know, he's been a Scott Frost believer, and I think a lot of people were, but it's just not working. Like, how much longer does Scott Frost have left in Nebraska?
Not long. I mean,
he probably won't get fired this year because of COVID, but, like, if he doesn't finish the year ranked next season, he's probably gone.
Oh, absolutely. I would be – and I don't know what their record is right now, but they just do not look good.
Yeah.
And they haven't looked good for a long, long time.
Yeah, and so that's like – it makes sense, right? Because, I mean, there's not really a draw for Nebraska if they're not good. They're 1-4 right now.
Sheesh.
Yeah, and, you know, like – I can get it. Guys like Zach Moss coming out to Utah, and I'm biased, right? Because I'm a Utahan and proud of where I am from. But like, the mountains are gorgeous, you know. Like there's lots of natural beauty around when you're in Utah. And for outdoorsy people and stuff like that could be a reason to stick around, right? Even if it's very different from your home in Florida. But I mean, like, what is there in Nebraska? There, it's flat. There's cornfields. Like, Lincoln isn't a huge city. You know, like, it's cold. It's colder than here in Utah. So, like, what is there? What's the draw?
Like, if in the 90s and the early 2000s or the 80s, like, yeah, Nebraska is a powerhouse. and it's a historically great football factory. But
yeah, I mean, dude, there's kids flocking to Norman, Oklahoma, right? So it's all about winning in the end, because if Nebraska is undefeated right now and you know, angling for a playoff spot, then people are like, yeah, Lincoln ain't so bad. You know, because I don't think – I think the town that you're in only matters when you're not winning, right?
I think that's a good point.
Yeah, and because, like, Norman, Oklahoma, it's not like that's a cultural, like, capital of America, you know? but no one says, like, oh, you're going to Oklahoma? Like, there's nothing to do there. It's like, well, guess what? It's because you're going to be playing in the playoffs almost every season. So
yeah. Because you're going to the, you're probably going to be in the NFL.
Exactly. And so, like, Scott Frost probably sold these kids on the fact that they were going to play for an elite Big Ten squad. But it ain't happening, dude.
It is just, well, and the same thing with Michigan, man. Like,
yeah, dude, wow. Michigan's booty.
I mean, when are we going to see kids start to decommit from there? I mean, is Jaden Hood going to stick with his commitment? Is Jaden McBurrows going to stick? I don't care about Jaden Hood. Give me Jaden McBurrows, the cornerback. I really, really like him. I know Gabby's big on him. But – and Tennessee's the same way. Like, when's is Terrence Lewis going to stick with them? I know – I mean, Tennessee just lost the cornerback commit that I just mentioned. But
yeah,
a lot of these schools, man, and I understand the Nebraska players that – maybe didn't want to come to Miami last year just because last year was just such a dumpster fire. And it looked like this program was just, you know, backpedaling. But right now, Miami is in a very, very good spot.
Yeah.
If they're able to bring back Rhett Lashley for 1 to 2 years, and, you know, if Derek King stays and they win 9 to 10 games next year, which is 100% doable, why not just stay in Miami? But I think a lot of yeah, and I don't want to speculate or anything like that, but just these – if you can't last a year at a school, that's just not a good sign.
Dude, nobody lasts there from Florida. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just hope these other high school kids see that.
Yeah. You know? I hope that, like –
why waste a year of your college career?
That these recruits are starting to see what's going on.
Yeah, like why waste a year of your college career? It's just like, dude, kids from Florida clearly don't like Nebraska when they're losing games. So, you know, just pick somewhere else.
Yeah, and if they were winning, you know, it would be a completely different conversation. But they're not, man. Like, and they're awful.
Yeah, every year.
Scott Frost is not a big time head coach.
Yeah.
Like, he made winners out of UCF when they were playing, you know, Central Georgia School for the Blind.
Yeah. But Marsh, they beat a 3-loss Auburn team, okay? They're the champions.
A 3-loss Auburn team with about 5 or 6 players out. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Oh, they're such jokes. I hate UCF. I almost kind of wish we played UCF this week.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for that too, honestly.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, non-sports related, as we wrap this up. Give me your top 3 or 5. I don't know how many you can name, but give me your top Christmas movies.
Ooh.
It's the season. Tis the season.
You know which one I love that doesn't get enough recognition, in my opinion, is the one, I think it's called The Night Before. Is that what it's called? But it's the Seth Rogen and James Franco one from a few years ago.
When they try all the drugs?
Yes.
That's a funny one.
That's a great movie, too. Like, it's a feel-good movie. I liked it.
It's funny, dude.
Yeah, it is. So, I
need to watch that again. I've only seen it once.
Yeah, I've watched it every year since it came out. I loved it.
Okay, and, right. So that
Christmas Vacation to me is the all-time, like, I know most people say A Christmas Story. For me, Christmas Vacation is the top of the list. Like, that's 100%. That's the movie I grew up watching with my family. Like, we all quote it front to back. My dad is Chevy Chase at that family reunion. Like, that's who my dad is as a person.
I'm kind of the same way, man. Kind of goofy like him.
Yeah, like just the, you know, just letting everything happen around him, and he's just like so slowly boiling inside. Like, that is my dad. That's who he is as a person.
When he starts to lose it at the end.
Yeah.
And it says
that's what I'm referring to as my dad. Is anytime there's a family gathering, you know that that's coming eventually.
Dude, I'm the same way. Like when everyone, like when I become a dad, I am going to be like the very, like I'm gonna be that dad. I'm gonna be like just excited about everything and this and that. But and I'm so excited when my like when our relatives come in for holidays. But God, let me tell you, within a few days,
yeah,
I am ready to lose my mind.
Yeah.
Okay, so Christmas vacation.
Let's see. Honestly, like, I like Elf. I like the idea of Elf more than I like Elf, though. Like, I can't get through it anymore.
That's not a movie. Like, Christmas Vacation, I have to watch every single year. Like, even Christmas Story, I have to watch every single year. Yeah. Elf is...
Yeah, like, I try to watch it every year, but I usually get bored and turn it off.
Right? It's like... It's okay.
Yeah. I could use more Christmas movies. And honestly, I'm a guy that loves Christmas, and I'm very festive. Like, I've only been listening to Dean Martin, his Christmas album, for the last week. You know, and I like to cook, so I always make a really festive, thematic, usually culturally themed Christmas dinner. I always get into decorating and dressing up and stuff. But, yeah, man, I'm trying to think if there's any other movies. I don't know. Christmas movies. I guess I love all the Santa Claus movies with Tim Allen.
Oh, gosh. Give me a break.
I like them.
Oh, hell. And
Elizabeth Mitchell is kind of hot for a middle-aged woman. I wish she was my principal. I'll tell you that much. Those are so awful. I wish he was my principal when I was in high school.
Okay, you didn't mention Grinch. What?
Oh no.
Dude, I can quote the Grinch and I can do a pretty good, like, I love the Grinch. It's Christmas. It's practically here.
That is good.
Hello, little girl. It's so good, dude. What are you nuts?
Yeah, I am nuts.
You're a little nuts, man. What?
I know.
What the hell? Okay, and you did. What about Christmas Story?
No, I don't like that
movie. Oh, hell's bells!
I know, dude. I don't know. I just never saw the appeal with Christmas Story. I don't know why. I know. I'm a terrible person.
Okay, what about Home Alone?
Home Alone's classic. I don't know. I have a hard time with Christmas movies, like I was saying. You know, it's like I just don't end up watching a ton. But I like Christmas music.
I love Christmas music. Like Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Home Alone is good, though. It is good, but I don't watch it every year.
I have two hot takes for you.
Okay, go for it.
Home Alone might be the most overrated movie that has ever been made. Okay. I don't think it's good at all. And I think it sucks. Macaulay Culkin he creeps me out, even as a kid. and then the second one, this is a hot take. The Michael Bublé version of All I Want for Christmas Is You is better than Mariah Carey's.
I'm going with that. I'm not a Mariah Carey guy.
Have you heard Michael Bublé's version of it?
I haven't, but
listen to it after we record this, and we will put it on the Twitter poll.
Okay.
We will put ourselves out for ridicule.
Okay, but I will do that. But I am so lukewarm on the Mariah Carey version that I can get behind that without even listening to it.
It gets me excited. It's definitely a classic, but
yeah.
To me, nobody touches Bublé.
Yeah.
Bublé can freaking walk on water. So he sounds like he is helping Santa in the workshop. I love
we're gonna have to dump a cold bucket of water on Marsh.
It's the greatest time of the year, man. Kate, I just have all these Christmas questions for you. Do you do a real tree or a fake tree?
We're fake tree people.
That's how we are now. We used to be real, and I have to convince my mom. I'm gonna do it right now, by God, to get a real tree. Cause I'm done with fake trees. I'm done being plastic. I hate it. And it's hard though in Florida because it's 85 degrees here.
Yeah.
I already miss having a cold Christmas. I miss it so much.
Yeah, dude. Like I get very sick of. I love winter until mid-January.
Yes.
By like mid-January, I'm just like every time I walk outside, I'm swearing at Mother Nature. You know?
Damn you!
Yeah, it's like I hate the weather so much.
Damn you! And the wind.
Yeah, the wind. You know, I get so pissed off at the wind.
The wind is so bad.
Yeah.
Oh. But yeah, I mean, I love having a, like, once after New Year's Eve, I'm done with the cold.
Dude, well, yeah. And I love having a cold Christmas, though, because, like, a few nights ago, it was super cold. You know, I just got married. So my wife and I were snuggling on the couch watching the Christmas episode of the TV show Chuck, which is really good. And we were drinking soup out of a mug together, like snuggled under a blanket, and have Christmas lights up. And
I hate you.
Dude, it was
so awesome.
It was amazing. Like, that's, you know, for how crappy life is, that was one of those moments that I was like, I get it. You know, I get why.
Nice brag. Well, I'm eating frozen taquitos under my bed and watching reruns of Family Guy at 2 a.m.
I'm sorry. Like, I don't mean to be that guy, but, you know, it's like, because life is stressful, right? I've been super stressed lately, and that was one of those moments that was like, okay, I see why people do this. And, yeah. But, you know, the cold weather was a big part of that, right? Because it was fun to snuggle in pajamas and drink soup out of a mug. It was Polish dill pickle soup, I'll have you, and it's delicious.
Wow. Yeah. I've never had that.
It's good. If you like pickles, it's good.
I feel like I've already asked you this, but this is my last question for you. Sorry. It's just whenever I start talking to you after a while, it just feels so good.
Yeah, it is. I feel great all over.
The beach. Are you a fan? Yes.
I love the beach. I don't really like the ocean. But, however, let me give a caveat here. I am much more familiar with...
Whoa, time out. Terrence Lewis just decommitted.
Oh, really? Holy moly. Well, that's good for us, because we're probably the only other team that's going hard at him, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Ooh. Awesome. Let me pull up my timeline real quick.
That's crazy. We were literally just talking about that.
Merry Christmas, Mark.
Have you seen that vine of that lady? She's going around saying Merry Christmas, but she's saying like Merry Christmas.
yeah. Happy Chrysler. Yeah, that lady. She's
hilarious. Merry Chrysler.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. It's Crimmin.
yeah,
that's one funny, of the great. Dude. I'm gonna post that tonight. You know,
we have so many comedians that aren't funny, but people like that deserve to be famous and rich because they are funny.
Oh gosh.
It's Crimmin.
It's Crimmins. Merry Chrysler.
Yeah. Oh, that's good stuff.
Okay.
What were we talking about before that? I think I had an opinion, but it was probably stupid.
It was about the beach.
Oh, yeah. Most of my ocean experiences have been in California, where the water sucks.
Okay.
So, like, you know, I don't want a whole bunch of people from South Florida, like, telling me how the ocean is so cool, because that's a different ocean. The Pacific Ocean in California sucks, because it's
but
cold.
But I do have a hot take that my Florida people will not like. The California beaches are better than the Florida beaches. California, yeah. The beaches are – they just feel like the beach. Like, I feel like the Beach Boys, and those are the only beaches in the world that I like.
Okay. So, yeah, I hate
the Florida beaches to me are just gross.
Yeah.
And they're trashy, and there's just sweaty, fat people everywhere.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's disgusting.
So, every time I go to LA,
California, everybody looks like they're coming out of a Quicksilver magazine.
Yep, that's true. That's a great reason to go to the beach. every time I go to LA, I do go to the beach. So, I like the beach. But I'm the kind of guy that will, like, I'll hang out at the beach, I throw a football, I play frisbee, you know, I chat up the ladies when I was single, and then I, like, stand in the ocean up to my knees, and then I'm like, okay, this water smells like every single human ever has pooped in it, and it smells terrible. It's really so gross.
Oh, yeah, the beach, man. The sand. Yeah. I hate the sand.
Yeah.
I hate it.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere for years. Like, I still have sand, like, down my ass, I feel like, from my Mexico trip from 6 years ago.
Okay, Anakin Skywalker.
It gets everywhere.
Right? I hate sand. It's everywhere. Marsh, I'm going to share a fact with you. Let's see if this is real, because I'm on Snopes. A blue whale, when it ejaculates, produces how much is it? It's like hundreds of gallons of semen into the ocean every time.
I don't know why that makes me laugh so hard.
So, like, just think of how many blue whales have ever lived. And just do some basic math. And that's, yeah. Where do you think all that salt comes from? Just kidding.
No, I mean, I've heard that theory.
Yeah.
I've heard that theory. Sure I have. You bet your ass I have. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like we have got some tweeting to do with this T2 movement. Do you think
we need him so bad?
He may start as a true freshman.
If he lives up to even half of what he's supposed to be, he'll probably start.
That dude could start as a freaking freshman. He is so good.
He could start right now.
He could start right now. Damn it.
Yeah. No, I'm dead serious, though. Like, as a 17-year-old kid, like, please start for us. We need you.
Ugh, okay. All right. Well, I guess we're going to take to Twitter now. Do we have anything else?
I don't think so. I mean, we're going to record again before the Duke game, so.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you what. If we lose a third game in a row to Duke, I'm going to start – I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. Probably going to light myself on fire, and I don't think Manny Diaz wants that on his conscience. So
yeah.
Do it for both of us, Manny. You don't want that. You don't want this blood on your hands.
You don't want this – you don't want this smoke.
Yeah, right?
Okay. All right. Good episode, man. A lot of stuff.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good adventure. We got nuts.
We got a little nuts. Okay, we will be back probably either Wednesday or Thursday. Would that work for you?
Yeah, Thursday should be fine. We'll figure it out.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, till then, let's get Terrence Lewis to stay home and play for the Canes. And go Canes, man. Go Canes.
Go Canes.
Podcast.